This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Instructions before you deliberated to reach your verdict. These instructions are the complete set of instructions that you will use in the jury room. When I finish telling you about the rules of law, the attorneys will present their final arguments, and then you'll retire to decide your verdict. The final arguments will occur tomorrow. As a reminder, I previously instructed you on all relevant dependency court orders binding Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, and I will be separately including those instructions for your review and use during your deliberations, and I'll give those to you tomorrow. As a further reminder, I also previously instructed you that Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital does not have any immunity from the claims presented to you in this trial. As you understand by now, Jack Kowalski is the plaintiff in this case in three separate capacities. First, he claims damages for his daughter, Maya Kowalski, because she is under the age of 18 and is a minor. Second, he asserts claims for his deceased wife, Beata Kowalski, Beata Kowalski's estate, and Beata Kowalski's legal survivors as the personal representative of her estate. Finally, he claims damages personally on his own behalf. In these instructions, when a claim is made for Maya Kowalski, the instructions will describe Maya Kowalski as the claimant, even though legally Jack Kowalski as her father is the plaintiff. When Jack Kowalski is making a claim in his capacity as the personal representative of the estate of Beata Kowalski, the instructions will describe the estate as the claimant. Finally, when the claim is for Mr. Kowalski personally, the instructions will describe Jack Kowalski as the claimant. In these instructions, there are instructions for, in, it should say seven, not nine, I apologize, seven separate claims. These instructions are given to you in writing to use in the jury room, and they include a table of contents so that you can find the instructions for a specific claim quicker during your deliberations. Although these claims have been tried together, each is separate from the other, and each party is entitled to have you separately consider each claim as it affects that party. Therefore, in your deliberations, you should consider the evidence as it relates to each claim separately, as you would had each claim been tried before you separately. During this trial, you have heard evidence about rules or policies created by Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital for its employees and for visitors. You have also heard evidence about a document described as the Patient and Family Rights and Responsibilities, or as a patient's bill of rights. The fact that an employee may have failed to comply with these requirements is not a violation of a law or a breach of a legal duty. It is only evidence that may be considered by you to determine whether Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital breached one of the legal duties or standards of care that I explained to you in these instructions. Likewise, the fact that an employee may have complied with these requirements does not mean that Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital cannot be found to have breached one of the legal duties or standards of care that I explained to you in these instructions. Again, that fact is only evidence that you may consider to determine whether Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital did not breach one of the legal duties or standards of care that I explained to you in these instructions. During the trial, you have heard testimony about whether Mr. Kowalski was prohibited at times by the dependency court from authorizing a doctor to administer ketamine to Maya Kowalski. When the dependency court entered the order When the dependency court entered the order on January 13th, 2017, which discharged Maya Kowalski from the hospital and placed her in the interim care of her father, the dependency court prohibited Mr. Kowalski from authorizing a doctor to administer ketamine to Maya Kowalski. On April 20th, 2017, the dependency court entered a final order releasing Maya Kowalski from shelter status. That order ended the lawsuit in the dependency court and all existing orders. During the trial, you have heard testimony that Maya Kowalski experienced stress relating to this current lawsuit. Emotional stress that parties to a lawsuit experience because of their involvement in the lawsuit is not an element of damages for any claim in this lawsuit. Claim 1, false imprisonment. The first claim in this case is brought by Maya Kowalski against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. Maya Kowalski claims that Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital intentionally restrained Maya Kowalski on 3 separate occasions under circumstances that were unreasonable and unwarranted and without legal authority, which caused her harm. First, Maya Kowalski claims that she was intentionally restrained between October 7 and October 13, 2016, because Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital did not release her to her parents in this period before the court in the proceedings filed by the Department of Children and Families entered its shelter order. Second, Maya Kowalski claims she was intentionally restrained on or between October 18th and October 20th, 2016, when she was moved from her normal hospital room to another room containing video recording equipment, where she claims she was confined for approximately 48 hours. Third, Maya Kowalski claims she was intentionally restrained on January 6, 2017, when she was confined in a room where some of her clothing was removed against her will, and she was restrained while photographs were taken of her body. Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital admits that it intentionally kept Maya Kowalski at the hospital between October 7 and October 13, 2016. It admits that it intentionally placed Maya Kowalski in another room on and between October 18th and October 20th, 2016, not 2026, 2016, to be video recording. It also admits that it took photographs of Maya Kowalski. As to each instance of claimed false imprisonment, Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital denies that its acts were unreasonable, unwarranted under all the circumstances, or without legal authority. The parties must prove all claims and defenses by the greater weight of the evidence. I will now define the terms you will use in deciding this claim. Greater weight of the evidence means the more persuasive and convincing force and effect of the entire evidence in the case. False imprisonment means that Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital restrained Maya Kowalski with the purpose of causing the restraint or acted with knowledge that Maya Kowalski's restraint would, to a substantial certainty, result from the acts of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. To be restrained means that Maya Kowalski was held against her will and did not consent to the restraint. In other words, a person is restrained when she is not free or does not reasonably believe she is free to leave the place to which she has been confined. To be restrained, a person must be aware of the restraint. An act of restraint is without lawful authority if Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital did not act under color or a claim of lawful authority for that specific act. An unlawful and intentional restraint is a legal cause of loss, injury, or damage if it directly and in natural and continuous sequence produces or contributes substantially to producing such loss, injury, or damage so that it can reasonably be said that, but for the unlawful and intentional restraint, the loss, injury, or damage would not have occurred. In order to be regarded as a legal cause of loss, injury, or damage, an unlawful and intentional restraint need not be the only cause. An unlawful and intentional restraint may be a legal cause of injury, even though it operates in combination with the act of another, some natural cause, or some other cause, if the unlawful and intentional restraint contributes substantially to producing such loss, injury, or damage. The issue for you to decide on Maya Kowalski's claim against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital are: A. Whether Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, without legal authority, intentionally caused Maya Kowalski to be restrained against her will in a manner that was unreasonable and unwarranted under the circumstances. And if so, whether that restraint was a legal cause of loss, injury, or damage to Maya Kowalski. On the verdict form, you will be asked to make a decision concerning these issues for each of the three separate occasions claimed by Maya Kowalski. If the greater weight of the evidence does not support the claim of Maya Kowalski for any of the three occasions, your verdict should be for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. However, if the greater weight of the evidence supports the claim by Maya Kowalski for one or more of these occasions, then your verdict should be for Maya Kowalski and against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. If you find for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, you will not consider the matter of damages. But if you find for Maya Kowalski, you should award Maya Kowalski an amount of money that the greater weight of the evidence shows will fairly and adequately compensate her for her loss, injury, or damage, as the greater weight of the evidence shows was caused by the occasions on which you find she was intentionally restrained. If you find for Maya Kowalski, you shall consider the following elements of damages for her. A. Any bodily injury sustained by Maya Kowalski and any resulting pain and suffering, mental anguish, inconvenience, or loss of capacity for the enjoyment of life experienced in the past. There is no exact standard for measuring such damage. The amount should be fair and just in the light of the evidence. And B. The reasonable value of medical and psychological treatment necessary or reasonably to be obtained by Maya Kowalski after she reaches the age of 18. If you find for Maya Kowalski but find that no loss, injury, or damage has been proven, then you should award Maya Kowalski nominal damages. Nominal damages are damages of an inconsequential amount which are awarded when a wrong has been done, but no actual damage is proved. A parent is entitled to certain types of damage for a claim brought on behalf of a child. In this case, Jack Kowalski is the parent entitled to these damages. If you find for Maya Kowalski. If you find for her, you shall consider the following elements of damages for Jack Kowalski. A. The reasonable value or expense of hospitalization and medical, psychological, and nursing care and treatment necessarily or reasonably be obtained by Jack Kowalski for his child Maya Kowalski in the past or to be so obtained in the future until Maya Kowalski reaches the age of 18. If your verdict is for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on each claimed occasion of false imprisonment, you will not decide the issue of punitive damages. If, however, you find for Maya Kowalski against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on any of the claims of false imprisonment, then there is an additional claim in this case that you must decide. You must decide whether, in addition to compensatory damages, punitive damages are warranted as punishment to Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital for the false imprisonment claims you have found for Maya Kowalski and as a deterrent to others. In this section, this additional claim for punitive damages involves only the claims for false imprisonment. The trial of punitive damages is divided into two parts. In this first part, you will decide whether the conduct of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital is such that punitive damages are warranted. If you decide that punitive damages are warranted, we will proceed to the second part of that issue after you have finished deliberating, during which the parties may present additional evidence and argument on the issue of punitive damages. I will then give you additional instructions, after which you will decide whether, in your discretion, punitive damages will be assessed, and if so, the amount. Punitive damages are warranted if you find by clear and convincing evidence that employees of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital involved in any false imprisonment were personally guilty of intentional misconduct or gross negligence, which was a substantial cause of loss, injury, or damage to Maya Kowalski, and that A, the officers, directors, or managers of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital actively and knowingly participated in such conduct, or B, the officers, directors, or managers of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital knowingly condoned, ratified, or consented to such conduct of Catherine Beatty or other employees of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, or C, Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital engaged in conduct that constituted gross negligence and that contributed to the loss, damage, or injury to Maya Kowalski. Under those circumstances, you may, in your discretion, award punitive damages against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. If clear and convincing evidence does not show such conduct by employees of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital involved in the false imprisonments, punitive damages are not warranted against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital as to false imprisonment. On the verdict form, you will be asked to make this decision for each of the three occasions claimed as false imprisonments. Intentional misconduct means that the employees of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital involved in the false imprisonments had actual knowledge of the wrongfulness of their conduct and the high probability that injury or damage to Maya Kowalski would result, and despite that knowledge, intentionally pursued that course of conduct resulting in injury or damage to Maya Kowalski. Gross negligence means that the conduct of the employees of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital involved in the false imprisonments was so reckless or wanting in care that it constituted a conscious disregard or indifference to the life, safety, or rights of Maya Kowalski. Clear and convincing evidence differs from the greater weight of the evidence in that it is more compelling and persuasive. As I have already instructed you, greater weight of the evidence means the more persuasive and convincing force and effect of the entire evidence in the case. Clear and convincing evidence is evidence that is precise, explicit, lacking in confusion, and such weight that it produces a firm belief or conviction without hesitation about the matter in issue. A manager is more than a mid-level employee. It is someone who holds a position with the corporation which might result in the manager's acts being deemed the acts of the corporation. The second claim for your consideration is a claim of battery brought by Maya Kowalski against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. Maya Kowalski claims that Catherine Beatty and a bedside nurse whose hands are shown in photographs and evidence, both of whom are employees of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, committed battery by engaging in harmful or offensive personal contact upon Maya Kowalski with the intent to cause such contact. Maya Kowalski claims that Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital is liable for battery for the acts of Catherine Beatty or bedside nurse during the time that Maya Kowalski was in the hospital. She claims that Ms. Beatty committed battery by giving her unwanted touching, including hugging, patting, kissing, and placing her on her lap. She also claims that Ms. Beatty or bedside nurse committed battery during the incident when Maya Kowalski claims she was intentionally restrained on January 6, 2017, and photographs were taken of her body. Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital admits that it would be liable for any harmful or offensive contact with Maya Kowalski by Ms. Beatty or the bedside nurse because their actions were done in the course and scope of employment with Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. Maya Kowalski must prove all claims by the greater weight of the evidence. I will now define some of the terms you will use in deciding this claim. Greater weight of the evidence means the more persuasive and convincing force and effect of the entire evidence in the case. Battery means a harmful or offensive physical contact upon another with the intent to cause such contact or the apprehension that such contact is imminent. It is not necessary that the contact cause physical injury. It is enough that the actor intends to make the contact and that the contact would be offensive to a reasonable person under like circumstances. A battery is a cause of loss, injury, or damage if it directly and in natural and continuous sequence produces or contributes substantially to producing such loss, injury, or damage, so that it can reasonably be said that but for the harmful or offensive physical contact, the loss, injury, or damage would not have occurred. In order to be regarded as a legal cause of loss, injury, or damage, a battery need not be the only cause. A battery may be a legal cause of injury even though it operates in combination with the act of another, some natural cause, or some other cause if the battery contributes substantially to producing such loss, injury, or damage. The issue for you to decide on Maya Kowalski's claim against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital are whether Ms. Beatty or bedside nurse committed a harmful or offensive contact upon the person of Maya Kowalski with the intent to make a contact that a reasonable person would find to be offensive under like circumstances. On the verdict form, you will be asked to decide this issue for each of the two batteries described. If the greater weight of the evidence does not support this claim of Maya Kowalski for either of the alleged batteries, your verdict should be for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. However, if the greater weight of the evidence supports the claim by Maya Kowalski for one or both of the alleged batteries, then your verdict should be for Maya Kowalski and against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. You will be asked on the verdict form to make a decision about the alleged battery on January 6th, 2017, separate from the other alleged battery. If you find for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on both claim batteries, you will not consider the matter of damages. But if you find for Maya Kowalski against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, you should award Maya Kowalski an amount of money that the greater weight of the evidence shows will fairly and adequately compensate her for the loss, injury, or damage, as the greater weight of the evidence shows was caused by the batteries committed by Catherine Beatty or bedside nurse. If you find for Maya Kowalski against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, you shall consider the following elements of damages for her. A, any bodily injury sustained by Maya Kowalski and any resulting pain and suffering, disability, or physical impairment, mental anguish, inconvenience, or loss of capacity for the enjoyment of life experienced in the past or to be experienced in the future. There is no exact standard for measuring such damage. The amount should be fair and just in the light of the evidence. And B, the reasonable value or expense of psychological treatment necessarily or reasonably to be obtained by Maya Kowalski after she reaches the age of 18. If you find for Maya Kowalski, but find that no loss, injury, or damage has been proven, you should award Maya Kowalski nominal damages. Nominal damages are damages of an inconsequential amount, which are awarded when a wrong has been done, but no actual damage is proved. Jack Kowalski is also entitled to certain types of damage as a parent for this claim brought on behalf of Maya Kowalski. If you find for Maya Kowalski against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, you shall consider the following element of damages for Jack Kowalski as Maya Kowalski's parent. A, the reasonable value or expense of hospitalization and medical, psychological, and nursing care and treatment necessarily or reasonably obtained by Jack Kowalski for his child, Maya Kowalski, in the past or to be so obtained in the future until Maya Kowalski reaches the age of 18. Because the claim for the battery that allegedly occurred on January 6, 2017 occurred at the same time and place that Maya Kowalski claims she was intentionally restrained, your award of damages for this claim against Johns Hopkins Hospital should not duplicate an award that you make for the same loss, injury, or damage on the claim for the intentional restraint. If your verdict is for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on the claim of battery on January 6, 2017, you will not decide the issue of punitive damages. If, however, you find for Maya Kowalski against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on the claim of battery for the incident on January 6, 2017, then there is an additional claim in this case that you must decide. You must decide whether, in addition to You must decide whether, in addition to compensatory damages, punitive damages are warranted as punishment to Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital for the battery claim you have found for Maya Kowalski and as a deterrent to others. This additional claim for punitive damages involves only the claim of battery on January 6, 2017. It does not apply to any of the later claims in this lawsuit. The trial of punitive damages is divided into two parts. In this first part, you will decide whether the conduct of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital is such that the punitive damages are warranted. If you decide that punitive damages are warranted, We will proceed to the second part of that issue after you have finished deliberating, during which the parties may present additional evidence and argument on the issue of punitive damages. I will then give you additional instructions, after which you will decide whether, in your discretion, punitive damages will be assessed, and if so, the amount. Punitive damages are warranted if you find by clear and convincing evidence that Catherine Beattie or the bedside nurse involved in the claim of battery on January 6, 2017 were personally guilty of intentional misconduct or gross negligence, which was a substantial cause of loss, injury, or damage to Maya Kowalski, and that A, the officers, directors, or managers of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital actively and knowingly participated in such conduct, or B, the officers, directors, or managers of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital knowingly condoned, ratified, or consented to such conduct of Catherine Beattie or other employees of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, or C, Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital engaged in conduct that constituted gross negligence and that contributed to the loss, damages, or injury to Maya Kowalski. Under those circumstances, you may, in your discretion, award punitive damages against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. If clear and convincing evidence does not show such conduct by Catherine Beattie or bedside nurse, punitive damages are not warranted against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. On the verdict form, you will be asked to make this decision as to the battery claimed for the January 6, 2017 incident. Intentional misconduct means that Ms. Beattie or bedside nurse had actual knowledge of the wrongfulness of their conduct and the high probability that injury or damage to Maya Kowalski would result, and, despite that knowledge, intentionally pursued that course of conduct resulting in injury or damage to Maya Kowalski. Gross negligence means that Ms. Beattie's or bedside nurse's conduct was so reckless or wanting in care that it constituted a conscious disregard or indifference to the life, safety, or rights of Maya Kowalski. Clear and convincing evidence differs from the greater weight of the evidence in that it is more compelling and persuasive. As I have already instructed you, greater weight of the evidence means the more persuasive and convincing force and effect of the entire evidence in the case. Clear and convincing evidence is evidence that is precise, explicit, lacking in confusion, and of such weight that it produces a firm belief or conviction without hesitation about the matter in issue. A manager is more than a mid-level employee. It is someone who holds a position with the corporation which might result in his or her acts being deemed the acts of the corporation. The third claim for your consideration in this case is as follows. Maya Kowalski claims that Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital was negligent in the medical treatment of her while she was a patient at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, and that its negligent treatment caused her harm. Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital denies the claim. Maya Kowalski must prove all claims by the greater weight of the evidence. Greater weight of the evidence means the more persuasive and convincing force and effect of the entire evidence in the case. Preliminary issue concerning Dr. Sally Smith, apparent agent. Under Florida law, the Florida Department of Health is required to provide the services of a multidisciplinary child protection team in each of the zones of the Department of Children and Families. That team must be led by a medical director who is a doctor board certified in pediatrics and who has additional training in child abuse. The medical director of the child protection team for the zone serving Pinellas County in 2016 and 2017 was Dr. Sally Smith. In that capacity, Dr. Sally Smith was required to investigate reports of child abuse that were assigned to her child protection team. The hotline report concerning Maya Kowalski was assigned to her team. The employees of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital were obligated to cooperate with the investigation by the child protection team. As the medical director of the child protection team, Dr. Sally Smith was required to be capable of providing certain additional services. Those services included medical diagnosis and evaluation services and medical evaluation related to abuse, abandonment, or neglect as defined by policy or rule of the Department of Health. A child protection team may also provide consultation with respect to a child who is alleged to be abused when requested by any other professional involved with a child. Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospitals doctors and healthcare providers, however, were not required to follow incorrect diagnoses or evaluations, and they had an independent duty to Maya Kowalski to exercise independent medical judgment. When Dr. Sally Smith provided these services in her role as the medical director of the child protection team, she was not providing those services as an agent of any hospital. Dr. Sally Smith's role as medical director of the child protection team did not extend to treating Maya Kowalski. The parties agree that Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital is legally responsible for the medical negligence of its doctors, who are its employees or agents. In addition to the negligence of doctors who are its agents or employees, Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital can become legally responsible for the medical negligence of a doctor who is not an employee or agent of the hospital when the doctor is what the law describes as an apparent agent of the hospital. Doctors are not employees or agents of a hospital merely because they have staff privileges at the hospital. They can, however, be treated as apparent agents of the hospital if the proof establishes that they fall within this category. In this case, the parties agree that Dr. Sally Smith was not an employee of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. There is, however, an issue for your resolution whether Dr. Sally Smith was an apparent agent of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. Maya Kowalski claims that Dr. Sally Smith was an apparent agent of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital and that Dr. Sally Smith also was negligent in her medical treatment of Maya Kowalski while acting within the scope of her apparent authority. Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital denies that Dr. Sally Smith was its apparent agent. Dr. Sally Smith was an apparent agent if Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, by its words or conduct, caused or allowed Beata or Jack Kowalski or both to believe that Dr. Sally Smith was an agent of and had authority to act for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, and if Beata Kowalski or Jack Kowalski relied upon that belief in dealing with Dr. Sally Smith as the agent of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. A person is responsible for the negligence of its apparent agent at the time and place of the alleged negligence of the apparent agent if the apparent agent was acting within the scope of her apparent authority. If the greater weight of the evidence does not support Maya Kowalski's claim that Dr. Sally Smith was an apparent agent of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital at the time and place of any medical negligence that Maya Kowalski claims that Dr. Smith committed, and that's Dr. Sally Smith, then your verdict on the claim of Maya Kowalski concerning the alleged medical negligence of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital in this case cannot be based on claimed medical negligence by Dr. Sally Smith. If, however, the greater weight of the evidence supports Maya Kowalski's claim that Dr. Sally Smith was an apparent agent of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital at the time of any act of medical negligence, and that Dr. Sally Smith was acting within the scope of her apparent authority, then your verdict on the medical negligence claim against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital can be based on the medical negligence by Dr. Sally Smith. Remainder of medical negligence instructions. Now that I have explained this preliminary issue, I will now define additional terms you will use in deciding this claim of medical negligence. Negligence is the failure to use reasonable care. Reasonable care on the part of a doctor or hospital is that level of care, skill, and treatment which, in the light of all relevant surrounding circumstances, is recognized as acceptable and appropriate by similar and reasonably careful doctors or hospitals. Negligence on the part of a doctor or hospital is doing something that a reasonably careful doctor or hospital would not do under like circumstances, or failing to do something that a reasonably careful doctor or hospital would do under like circumstances. Negligence is a legal cause of loss, injury, or damage if it directly and in natural and continuous sequence produces or contributes substantially to producing such loss, injury, or damage, so that it can be reasonably said that, but for the negligence, the loss, injury, or damage would not have occurred. In order to be regarded as a legal cause of loss, injury, or damage, negligence need not be the only cause. Negligence may be a legal cause of loss, injury, or damage, even though it operates in combination with the act of another or some other cause, if the negligence contributes substantially to producing such loss, injury, or damage. The issues that you must decide on Maya Kowalski's claim against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital are whether the Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital was negligent through any of its employee doctors or through any apparent agent doctor in the medical care and treatment of Maya Kowalski, and if so, whether that negligence was a legal cause of loss, injury, or damage to Maya Kowalski. If the greater weight of the evidence does not support Maya Kowalski's claim, then your verdict should be for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on this claim. However, if the greater weight of the evidence supports the claim of Maya Kowalski, then your verdict should be for Maya Kowalski and against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on this claim. If you find for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, you will not consider the matter of damages. But If you find Vermaya Kowalski, you should award her an amount of money that the greater weight of the evidence shows will fairly and adequately compensate her for the loss, injury, or damage, as the greater weight of the evidence shows was caused by the conduct complained of. If you find Vermaya Kowalski, you shall consider the following elements of damages. A. Any bodily injury sustained by Maya Kowalski and any resulting pain and suffering, disability or physical impairment, mental anguish, inconvenience, or loss of capacity for the enjoyment of life experienced in the past or to be experienced in the future. There is no exact standard for measuring such damage. The amount should be fair and just in the light of the evidence. B. The reasonable value or expense of hospitalization and medical, psychological, and nursing care and treatment necessarily or reasonably to be obtained by Maya Kowalski. And C. Any loss of ability to earn money in the future by Maya Kowalski. If you find that Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital caused a bodily injury and that the injury resulted in an aggravation of an existing disease or physical defect, you should attempt to decide what portion of Maya Kowalski's condition resulted from the aggravation. If you can make that determination, then you should award only those damages resulting from the aggravation. However, if you cannot make that determination, or if it cannot be said that the condition would have existed apart from the injury, then you should award damages for the entire condition suffered by Maya Kowalski. The fourth claim for your consideration in this case is brought by Jack Kowalski against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. He claims that Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital fraudulently billed the Kowalskis and their health insurers, falsely claiming that the hospital was treating Maya Kowalski for CRPS. He claims this fraudulent information caused him harm. Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital denies this claim. Mr. Kowalski must prove all claims and defenses by the greater weight of the evidence. I will now define the terms you will use in deciding this case. And members of the jury, where it says must prove all claims and defenses, it just should say must prove all claims by the greater weight of the evidence. So please strike out and defenses. Mr. Kowalski must prove all claims by the greater weight of the evidence. I will now define terms you will use in deciding this case. It's a lot of talking for me. Greater weight of the evidence means the more persuasive and convincing force and effect of the entire evidence in the case. A material fact is one that is of such importance that Mr. Kowalski or his insurance company would have acted or would have refrained from acting but for the false statement about it. Misrepresentation of a material fact is a legal cause of loss, injury, or damage if it directly and in natural and continuous sequence produces or contributes substantially to producing such loss or damage, so that it can reasonably be said that, but for the misrepresentation, the loss, injury, or damage would not have occurred. In order to be regarded as a legal cause of loss, injury, or damage, a misrepresentation of a material fact need not be the only cause. Misrepresentation of a material fact may be a legal cause of loss, injury, or damage, even though it operates in combination with some other cause, if the misrepresentation contributes substantially to producing such loss, injury, or damage. The issues for you to decide on the claim for fraudulent billing are A. Whether Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital made a false statement concerning a material fact in or in regard to its billing. B. Whether Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital knew the statement was false when it made it, or made the statement knowing it did not know whether it was true or false. C. Whether Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital intended that another would rely on the false statement. D. Whether Mr. Kowalski or his insurance company relied on the false statement. And E. Whether the reliance on the false statement was a legal cause of loss, injury, or damage to Mr. Kowalski. If the greater weight of the evidence does not support the claim of Mr. Kowalski, your verdict should be for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on this claim. However, if the greater weight of the evidence supports the claim, then your verdict should be for Mr. Kowalski and against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on this claim. If you find for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, you will not consider the matter of damages. But if you find for Mr. Kowalski, you should award them an amount of money that the greater weight of the evidence shows will fairly and adequately compensate them for any monetary loss or damage sustained by them and caused by the fraud. You shall consider the following elements of damage. A. Any deductibles or copays incurred by the plaintiffs as a result of Maya Kowalski's sheltering at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, or increases in their cost of insurance coverage in the past or in the future, including increased premiums, copays, and higher deductibles, and reimbursement for the difficulty of finding insurance in the future. The fifth claim for your consideration in this case is brought by the estate of Beata Kowalski against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. The estate claims that during the time that Maya Kowalski was a patient at the hospital, Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital acted extremely and The estate claims that during the time that Maya Kowalski was a patient at the hospital, Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital acted extremely and outrageously, causing Beata Kowalski severe emotional distress. In this claim, the estate claims that the extreme and outrageous conduct of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital caused Beata Kowalski to suffer severe emotional distress prior to her death. Through this claim, the estate now seeks to recover for that harm. Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital denies this claim. The estate must prove its claim by the greater weight of the evidence. I will now define some of the terms you will use in deciding this claim. Greater weight of the evidence means the more persuasive and convincing force and effect of the entire evidence in the case. Extreme and outrageous conduct is behavior which, under the circumstances, goes beyond all possible bounds of decency and is regarded as shocking, atrocious, and utterly intolerable in a civilized community. Emotional distress is severe when it is of such intensity or duration that no ordinary person should be expected to endure it. Extreme and outrageous conduct is a legal cause of severe emotional distress if it directly and in natural and continuous sequence produces or contributes substantially to producing such severe emotional distress, so that it can reasonably be said that but for the extreme and outrageous conduct, the severe emotional distress would not have occurred. In order to be regarded as a legal cause of severe emotional distress, extreme and outrageous conduct need not be the only cause. Extreme and outrageous conduct must be a legal cause of severe emotional distress, even though the act of another or some other cause also contributes to the distress. The issue for you to decide on the estates, and that should read fifth claim. The issues for you to decide on the estate's fifth claim are: 1. Whether Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, through its agents and employees, engaged in extreme and outrageous conduct during the time that Maya Kowalski was a patient at the hospital, and acted with the intent either to cause Beata Kowalski severe emotional distress or with reckless disregard of the high probability of causing Beata Kowalski severe emotional distress. And if so, 2, whether that extreme and outrageous conduct was a legal cause of severe emotional distress to Beata Kowalski. If the greater weight of the evidence does not support the estate's claim, your verdict should be for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. However, if the greater weight of the evidence supports the estate's claim, your verdict should be for the estate and against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. If your verdict is for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, you will not consider the matter of damages. But if the greater weight of the evidence supports the estate's claim, you should determine and write on the verdict form in dollars the total amount of loss, injury, or damage which the greater weight of the evidence shows will fairly and adequately compensate the estate for the loss, injury, or damage occurring prior to the death of Beata Kowalski on January 8, 2017. If you find for the estate, you shall consider the following elements. A. Any resulting pain and suffering, mental anguish experienced by Beata... Let me read again. If you find for the estate, you shall consider the following elements. Any resulting pain and suffering or mental anguish experienced by Beata Kowalski prior to her death on January 7, 2017. There is no exact standard for measuring such damage. The amount should be fair and just in the light of the evidence. Now, members of the jury, I noticed that we, in one case, said that Beata Kowalski died on January 7th and another time on January 8th. I think the evidence was it was in that time frame. I apologize, I was not consistent, but the intent here is the damages before her death, okay? Whether it's on January 7th, the evening of the January 7th, or the morning of the 8th. Moving on to claim 6. The sixth claim for your consideration in this case is a claim brought by the estate of Beata Kowalski. The estate claims that Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital acted extremely and outrageously during the time that Maya Kowalski was a patient at the hospital, and that this conduct is a legal cause of Beata Kowalski's death by suicide. Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital denies this claim. If you decide on the verdict form for the survivor claim, the fifth claim, that the estate did not prove its claim. Actually, can I see the attorneys for a second on this?
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs. I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.